Welcome to another edition of the NHL Executive Suite. I'm Deb Placey, and today we have the newly minted Minnesota General Manager, Bill Guerin. How did that happen?
You know what? It happened really quick. Right when they made their change, phone calls between Craig and the Penguins happened, and I was fortunate that they allowed me to go and interview, and I felt comfortable right off the bat with Craig and Matt Mayka, and then the second interview, Mike Modano was in there, who's an old friend of mine, and I feel very good about the whole situation. It's a great market, passionate, knowledgeable fans, and very supportive. So I've got a great staff that I'm working with now. I'm having the time of my life.
So it sounds like you really wanted this job.
I did. I really did want this job. And that was the last question that Craig asked me in my interview was, why do you want this job? And my answer to him was like, who wouldn't want this job? It's for everything I just said, everything on down, from the ownership down to, the stick boys, everything's great. And the neat thing about it is that hockey is part of Minnesota culture. And so everybody's just really passionate about it. And you want that kind of market. You want that kind of, following for your team. And, like I said, who wouldn't want that?
So you're killing me because I see you walking around the Minnesota State Fair they take you to, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what you were trying every delectable food item on the
premises. Absolutely. That's what those things are about. I mean, my God, I'm not doing the rides. I'm not doing the games and stuff. I'm not buying a tractor. So I'm going to try the food. And they have these different type of, it's almost like a corn dog, but it's like batter based. It's called a Pronto Pup, and they're real proud of them out there. And I tried that and it was awesome. Yeah, it was very good.
I saw a lot of cookies happening.
Yeah, a lot of cookies. We had to bring some back for, some of the staff members, and had to share, Sweet Martha's cookies, I think that's what they're called. So it was great. It was great.
But it hit me as I was watching you in the crowd. It's different than being a player, even really. You spent a lot of time paying your dues in player personnel, but also different than that, in that you really represent the team. So it's not just a job, it's an adventure. I mean, being the general manager, there's a lot more to it. Is that fair than the singular purpose of playing, focusing on coaching or focusing on personnel?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest difference right now, is that it's not just the hockey. There's so many other things that you have to be involved in. And, just even on the, we're working together with the business side, things have to match up. There are budgets that are in place that you have to know about, all sorts of things, with the community things, you have to, be aware of what's going on. So there, memos from the league, all sorts of rule changes and this and that. There's a whole laundry list of things that you don't realize. And when you get the job, they just kind of hit you with it.
So Craig Leopold said that you have the it factor. What is the it factor?
I don't know what it is. And I think it can be different in different situations, but I think with maybe my two Stanley Cups as a player and two as an assistant GM is something that really resonated with Craig, and to go along with my playing career, that I can relate to the players and know kind of how they feel in certain situations. And I think just the way I'm described is as a people person, and I think that might be the it. To hear somebody say that you have it is very nice.
Whenever you ask anybody, who's your funniest teammate you ever played with? Everybody who played with you says Bill Guerin. Who's the funniest teammate you ever played with?
I've had a million. Dougie Waite is one of my funniest teammates ever. Keith Tkachuk. Ben Hankinson was a really funny guy.
Is he an agent now?
He's an agent now, yeah.
Will you have to deal with him differently?
No.
Now that you're a GM?
It's a much different, no, because I've done contracts with him in the past. Okay. And it's a much different negotiation. There's a lot of honesty and a lot of humor. But it's fun. It's fun to deal with, old friends that way. But somewhere along the line, there's always you know, good story about Ben and Dougie and Keith, and those guys, they're good at keeping things loose.
Yeah. Which do you want to see in your own team?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I just want the players to be themselves. You know, we have them there for who they are, not just as hockey players, but as people. So, you know, I always say, if you're funny, be funny. If you're quiet, be quiet. But the main thing is that you're able to flip the switch. And I worked really hard at that to, you know, kind of be my own person and my own personality and be able to flip the switch. And when it's game time, it's work and it's business, and you have to approach it any way that is going to make you successful. But that's what I expect. I expect our guys to, you know, have fun playing this game. It doesn't last forever. But when it's game time, you better have your game face on.
It's interesting when you say it doesn't last forever. So a couple things. We have so much to talk to you about. I'm very excited about this. A day that sticks out for me in Bill Guerin world wasn't that long ago. You were named captain of the Islanders, and yeah. I had to look at the date. It was July 9th, 2007.
Yeah.
So it was only 12 years ago. There's got to be a lot of guys playing when you look around that were playing when you were playing.
Yeah, yeah. They're,
you're not that far removed.
Yeah, yeah. I actually had a conversation with Mikko Koivu the other day, and we played against each other, and we had a run-in with each other on the ice. And some words were exchanged, and he remembered it word for word. So we had a good laugh. And yeah, so there's still quite a few guys that I played against, but they're dropping like flies. I'm not getting any younger. So they those guys are fewer and fewer. But yeah, it hasn't been, you know, I guess I've been pretty fortunate to get here this quickly. But yeah, I'm just enjoying it.
So the reason it sticks out to me was the Islanders were announcing in a press conference that you had signed, right, as a
yep.
free agent, right? It wasn't a trade.
Yep.
But they were naming you captain, and it was a very big surprise for you, right? You didn't know.
Yeah, I had no idea. And, you know, Garth just, I guess, had the idea, him and Charles, and they made the decision. I was blown away by that. It was a real humbling experience to come into a new team and you know, be given such a big responsibility and honor. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Knowing and sensing that you were really taken aback by it, it's interesting you say that it was such an honor. I remember thinking more that, did you not see yourself, because, you know, you were always everybody's buddy and gregarious. Did you not see yourself as a leader then?
No, I did. I saw myself as a leader, but in my own way. You know, I always tried to make sure that guys were kind of taken care of, and kind of, you know, the game's hard enough, you know, and sometimes guys just need to, you know, somebody to put their arm around them. And I guess that's kind of the type of guy I was. And, you know, but like, again, you go back to being able to flip that switch. They knew I would have their back on the ice. They knew I would show up every night to play. And that's the most important thing. So, no, I always felt that I had leadership qualities, but you know, that was just, it was a surprise, and it was really cool.
And that was really our first introduction to get to meet your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your awesome wife, Kara, who I remember thinking that day, okay, she runs the roost.
Oh yeah. Like, for sure. For sure. There's no doubt. No doubt there. And it's actually funny, but I brought up that picture last night of that day.
Really?
When we all took our pictures in our Islander jerseys. Yeah, I was looking at it last night. It's really funny. And that was 10 years ago. So my kids are, you know, 22, 20, 18, and 16 now.
Well,
so
how did that happen?
You know, everybody else can do the math out there. So 10 years ago, and they were just little kids.
Yeah.
And now, you know, one's out of college and in grad school, one's in college, and one's a senior, one's a junior. So it's crazy.
So three girls in one.
Yeah, yeah. Kayla, Grace, Liam, and Lexi.
Which one's the most like you?
Liam. Yeah, they all say that he and I share a brain.
Really?
And we don't get to use it at the same time. So it's pretty funny, though. Personality-wise, sense of humor, we are very much alike. And it's a lot of fun.
So he's playing hockey.
He's playing hockey up at the Salisbury School, and he's loving it.
Now, you must have had some interesting times as a big-time NHL player at some of these youth hockey games, I'm guessing, when he was growing up.
Yeah, you know what? I really tried not to be the crazy dad.
Were there other crazy dads?
There's a ton of crazy dads and crazy moms.
Okay.
And I really tried not to do that. I've had my moments. I will not lie to you. I've had my moments where my temper got the best of me. But you know what? I've always tried to just let him, be who he is. And you know what? When he really wanted to get into it, that was going to be his choice, even if he wanted to play. But he's a great kid. He works hard. He doesn't need me to be his coach. He needs me to be his dad. And that's what I've tried to do. I quit coaching him. I tried for a year and a half, and it didn't work. So I quit, and I could just be his dad again.
That happens in any walk of life, whatever sport, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. I think in any sport and, in different, in education and this and that, parents want their kids to be just like them. And they can't. They have to be their own person. And that's what I've always wanted for my kids. And I think they've all turned out great so far.
They get their athleticism. They're so athletic. Are they competitive like you?
They're so competitive. My wife and I are competitive though. Kara and I, we have this ongoing game of Scrabble, and we keep score, and we might have if I win, we might have a little more quiet dinner that night, which is rare that I win. We have a Christmas Day hockey game, and it's me, Kara, and Kayla against Liam, Lexi, and Grace. And we've been doing it for, years now, 7 years, and it's like a bloodbath. Like there's no love lost there. So we're all very competitive, but we're also very supportive of each other. Like we go to great lengths to be at each other's events.
Now, it's interesting you say that, because I was going to ask you, there had to be some things you missed. I mean, you can't take a game off to be at someone's graduation or letter signing day. Do you feel like you missed on things for your kids when you were traveling and playing?
Yeah, of course I do. I've missed some really big things, but the game has also given us a lot of really cool things. Like my family has traveled the world with hockey to Olympic games, to World Cups, to Stanley Cup finals. They've drank out of the Stanley Cup. They've been all over the world because of the game of hockey. And, we're really fortunate. So yeah, I've missed a few recitals. I've missed a few games. I haven't been able to coach as much as I wanted to, but you know what? I think we're still coming out on top.
I think you're doing all right.
Yeah, we're doing okay.
You've gotten to a lot. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Pittsburgh and how that set you up for this job you have now. What do you think you learned most that you'll take with you? Are there things that you saw that they did you didn't want to do, or mostly what you did want to do?
In working the 9 years that I've been working, it's I've just learned a ton, and it's amazing how much of a relationship business this is, and how the better you treat people, the better I think things will go. But more importantly, how hard everybody works. Like this just doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen without without teamwork and sacrifice. We always see the guys on the ice, and we stress teamwork, and we stress, competitiveness and character and sacrifice and all those things. Well, that all takes place behind the scenes too. And you have to have a good structure. You have to have clarity in roles. You have everything that a team has. You need that behind the scenes in your staff and your office to be successful. There's a lot of similarities. We just don't get to get on the ice.
Tell me something about Mario Lemieux that I don't know.
Oh man, he's a funny guy. He is a funny guy. He's quiet, and he doesn't say much. But if he has the opportunity to throw you a jab, he absolutely will.
Like what?
And I can't say. Come on, jeez. I no. And you know what? Mario is it was such a luxury to have him you know, as an owner, because he's one of the greatest players of all time. And he was just such a calming influence. You know, when
he kind of floats down the hall.
Yeah.
He's always so composed. Yeah. He's never ruffled or rattled.
No, that's it. And he walks in and he just kind of makes everything better, you know, and it's great. He's such a, like, him and, you know, his wife Natalie are amazing people, and, you know, they've got four great kids and they're all around. It's a real family atmosphere there, and they're the ones leading that charge. And it's, but he's a great guy. He's so down to earth and just, you know, he's a regular guy.
Knows his wines,
knows his cigars, plays a pretty decent game of golf. Him and Pierre LaRouche, they can play a round of golf in about 2 hours.
Without running, and he's probably never sweating.
They just,
he doesn't sweat.
No practice swings. Just go.
You just step up to the ball. Yeah. Okay, then tell us something about Sidney Crosby that we wouldn't know from being around him all those years.
About Sid?
How do you see Sid?
Sid likes hot dogs.
Oh. Is that a fault?
No. But I think everybody gave Phil a hard time for liking hot dogs.
Oh, right, right.
Sid loves hot dogs.
He can down a few?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. He's great.
He's not just green juice and vegetables.
No. He likes to live a little too. Sid's become a really good friend. You know, back when I was playing, we went through a lot together, winning that Stanley Cup and then the following year. But it's been really awesome to just watch him become who he's become. Like, he has time for everybody. It's amazing that, you know, if we bring people down to the locker room and, you know, we have, you know, people visiting or whatever, Sid always makes time for everybody. And, you know, I think he realizes the impact that can have, like, 2 minutes of his time, the impact that he can have on somebody's, you know, not just their day, their life. And I really think he gets that. And he's very, very gracious with his time. Yeah, he's a solid guy.
And it'll be interesting to see what he does when he's done playing, although it seems like he's, you know, he could play forever. But we, you know, doing this NHL executive suite with some owners, a lot of GMs.
Yeah.
Steve Yzerman and Brendan Shanahan, and now you're doing this. And we were talking to Jim Nill that all these big players, nobody wants to coach. You're all going into front offices. And it kind of hit me when you start to think about some of the guys that we're doing this with. Why do you think that is?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know. I think coaching for certain players can be really tough because, you know, you take Stevie. Stevie's one of the best players of all time and saw the game at such an elite level. You know, I think for guys like that, it would probably be difficult to understand how players don't see it like he saw it.
Well, they said that about, you know, Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he liked coaching.
Yeah. Well, coaching's the closest thing that you're going to get to playing. Because you're right in the thick of things. You're on the bench. You're around the players. It's the closest thing. But I just think that there's a there's also a draw to implementing your vision and what you think it takes to win, and what type of team you want to build. And that's the attraction to me. I mean, I've always been more you know, leaning towards the management job than the coaching job. And, you know, there's pluses and minuses to both of them. You know, there really are.
Even Marty Brodeur, who already moved from front office side and being, you know, an assistant to the general manager to the business side, he's all in on that kind of thing. But it's fantastic, though, that you guys have paid your dues and didn't try to jump in it too early. Like Steve Yzerman, you know, took a long time. Chris Drury, still an assistant GM for the Rangers and went to the Hartford Wolfpack and wanted to do it the right way. Brendan Shanahan took some time to do other things. You spent years in player development. I think it's a bit big picture to do it the right way.
Yeah, there's so many things that you need to learn. There's so many experiences that you need to go through. I didn't want this job right away. I wanted to go to the places and, you know, do the things that our amateur scouts were doing, our pro scouts were doing, and learn this business. I was fortunate to come in and have guys that really helped me through the process. You know, with Ray Shiro, I was with Tom Fitzgerald and Dan McKinnon and, Jason Bottrell, guys like that really kind of took me under their wing and hey, this is what you do. This is how you write a report. This is how you put together a development camp. This is what goes on a trade deadline. These are lists that you have. These are all these different things that you had to learn. So the quick road to it isn't always the best one. You have to learn, and you have to be willing to, I think you'll just be a better manager if you've gone through those experiences.
What do you look for? What are you going to look for in players? Like when you sit down and watch a game, like you're going to go tonight and watch prospects, whether you've already drafted them or they're someone else's player, what are you looking for?
Well, obviously look for a high skill level, but you know, just as important, you look for character and compete. And those are three things that you need. Character, you always need character guys, no matter what. You always need guys that are competitive, and there's different ways to compete. It's not just guys that'll run around and hit. It's, you know, skill guys compete in their own way. And then you know what, you have to have a certain amount of skill to play in the National Hockey League or to be a productive player. So those are things you look for. And you know, you have to see who really wants to play and will really do anything to get there, because there are different roles. Or, hey, look, you might have scored in junior or college or whatever, but if you're not willing to take a fourth line spot or a checking role, well, then that might be your biggest mistake ever. So you really have to be willing to do whatever it takes to play.
When did you first know when you were a kid that you might be able to do this?
You know, people have asked me that before. I've
asked some parents and they say never.
Yeah.
When did you know your son was going to, well, I never did.
I think that's probably the answer my parents would give you. First of all, I'm very lucky it worked out because I didn't plan on anything else. I had no plan B. But when it really got serious was probably around, 16, 17 years old when I started hearing about like the draft and all this stuff that I started getting attention for. And then leading up to the draft, I'm like, oh, wow, like I think I'm going to go in the first round. And then after that, I knew I had a good chance.
So you were fifth overall, right, your year?
Yeah, fifth overall.
And you win a cup with the Devils.
Yeah.
And it didn't end so well there.
It didn't end poorly either.
And you had, I went back and looked. You had gracious words, when you were leaving. It wasn't an easy situation, that it was a contract, situation for both sides, and you moved on to Edmonton. But the thing I'm thinking about is you're this American-born kid, Massachusetts, Boston College, and here you are, in Winter Wonderland in Edmonton. But that really sort of changed the course of your life in some ways.
Yeah, it really did. And you know what? The situation in New Jersey, and Lou and I laugh at it now, and I hate to say it, but he was right. But I felt I was stuck, and I've seen other players go through this and had to kind of get out just to see what I could do. And the trade to Edmonton was, it was fantastic. It was crazy because, we had, Kara and I had one little girl at the time and she was pregnant. She had never, ever been there. And I was flying in and I was talking to her and she's like, well, what's it like? I said, well, it's all white and it's cold, but we had the time of our life up there. We really did. And it took her and I we were kids, it put us out west. And we were away from family. We were away from friends. We were, we were just, with the team. And we had a great group of guys, a great group of wives. We did everything together, and it was a blast. It was a blast. It was tough leaving. Everybody thinks because I got traded to Boston, oh, you must have been so excited. No, I cried my eyes out. I was devastated. We had a really tight group of guys.
For a player as good as you were, you did get traded in your prime a couple times. You did move a little bit. Why do you think that is?
I did. Well, one, the Jersey one I asked for, the Edmonton one just caught me off guard. Then I signed as a free agent in Dallas. Then I got bought out. I had a terrible year, and the salary cap had been, you know, introduced, so I was out on that one. And then, you know what, next thing you know, boom, I'm old. And I really wanted to win one more time. And, you know, I signed in St. Louis, which was great because it was an awesome year to get myself back on track. But then JD came to me and asked me if I would accept a trade. I said only to a contender, and I got traded to San Jose, and we were a contender, and that's all I could have asked for. I wish I played better out there, but that was the idea. So I accepted that trade. And then after I signed with the Islanders, kind of the same thing happened, and I knew the end was coming, and I knew there was this team in Pittsburgh with a couple pretty good young players, and I accepted that trade too. And these were all like family decisions too. Like we didn't take this lightly. And I'm like, Kara and I would talk, and this is what it was about. And we knew it would be tough on the family again. And yeah, you know what? Nobody wants to move, but really wanted to try to win one more time. And you know what? I was very, very fortunate to land in Pittsburgh and to have that happen. That was a great, I can't even say great. It was beyond great, the experience that I had there.
Do you think you'll have more empathy for players being on this side of it now as a GM, knowing what you went through with, you know, all the different negotiations and moves and everything that you did as a player?
Yeah. I get it. You know what? I had two contract holdouts. And you know what? They weren't the smartest things in the world. I look back on it with that experience, but I understand what guys are going through. They're competitive. They look at what other guys get, and they're competitive. They don't want to take less than somebody else that they feel that they're just as good at. But I also have a business to run and a salary cap to deal with. So I do try to empathize with them. Even if a guy's having an off month, or you know, he has a bad game, like, we've all been there. Everybody's been there, and you have, as a former player, you have to do your best to try to remember those times and what you're feeling. And it's not always, a guy doesn't always need a kick in the pants. They need help, and that's what the coaching staff and the management and hockey ops are there for. We need to help guys, and you know, sometimes it is giving them a kick in the pants, but you know, we got to figure that out.
Is there anything you wish you were better at
in hockey or
anything,
in management,
life, anything?
Oh man, a lot, a lot. I wish I was. I wish I was better at putting things on our calendar, because that gets me in trouble at home a lot.
Okay, that's fair. That's good.
No, I wish I could be a little more organized, I guess my systems worked for me so far.
How much did you know about analytics when you were playing compared to what you have to deal with now?
Analytics when I was playing, I don't think it was around yet, but zero.
Okay. And what do you think of them now?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I believe in it. I think it's, you know what? There are always going to be other factors, other parts to the puzzle. Like, so if a player's not a great analytical player, there are other things that he can bring to the table as well. There's character things, there's teammate things, there's a lot more to it but analytics is a great, I mean, everybody says this, but it's a great tool, and it's a great way to just look at a player strictly by numbers and what they produce night in and night out. And so I think it's a great way that our game's going to be able to track players the way that we can right now. It just helps you.
Are you giving yourself a timeline, goals to win, to What are you setting yourself up for this year? Are you moving the family? How's everything with the getting started?
You know, hockey-wise, business-wise, listen, I got this. This was an odd time to get this job, and so, but I think a good time also. And I'm not afraid of this. I actually just want to take a step back. You know what? See how our staff operates. See who we have for prospects here at the rookie tournament. Then we'll move on to training camp. We'll see how the team's coming together. We have good players, and I don't want to make any knee-jerk reactions just to satisfy my ego. You know, it's way bigger than that, and I don't feel the need to do anything. So I'm just going to sit back and see how this plays out. But if there is a chance that I can make our team better, I will do that.
I'm so looking forward to watching you do this. Thank you.
Thanks.
Stanley Cup champion as a player. We wish him well in the state of hockey as Bill Guerin transitions to this new role. We really appreciate Billy for being here, and we thank you for listening. As always, feel free to rate and review. Any feedback is much appreciated. It is free to subscribe. We would also like to tell you, you can always check out the other shows on our NHL Podcast Network. If you've got a fantasy team, we've got NHL Fantasy on Ice. Dan Rosen follows the puck, everything you need to know on NHL at the Rink. And we've got Wayne Gretzky and the great one-on-one with number 99. Until next time, I'm Deb Placey in the NHL Executive Suite.